cliffcentral.com.
Oh yeah, it's Thursday morning. It's that time of the week. It's that time of the day. It's time for the weekly mashup with myself, Timmy Shomasha, and my lovely co-host in olive green.
Yeah.
Okay, olive green. Well, I got it right. Yeah. I was going to say green.
I'm glad you went descriptive there.
Miss
Candace Mama.
Thank you. Yay. I love the jewelry. What's going on today?
It's always, but this is like my standard blinging ring now.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, it's very cool, right?
You're blinging on fire.
I try. Yeah. I try. If there's one thing I always do is over accessorize.
Okay.
That's my thing.
So there's a Mampincha challenge, a hashtag Mampincha challenge on Insta. So everyone's going out there and talking about like what they did first, right?
Mm-mm.
But you got to do it in like vernac. Mm. You know, what would you say that you did first that you need to be given accolades for? Because like Kanye's out there saying that she needs to be given accolades because she's the first one to have dated older men, to have even driven a Lamborghini, right?
Yes.
And when she was doing it, everyone was saying that she's a gold digger. And now people are just calling those kind of people who are doing that just like blessees. And she's like, no, girls, I was there first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She redefined it. She redefined it for the rest of them.
Yeah, exactly. And gosh. So what's your redefinition?
Oh my goodness.
The jewelry? What?
No, I probably...
By the way, it doesn't have to be something positive.
Yes. I'm probably the only girl of my age who's gone for the surgeries I've gone for to make myself look the way I look.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, guys.
There's been some enhancements.
I've got a BMW on my face. What
can I say? Oh, wow. Okay. All right.
I just say if you can fix it, do it.
But you got to do it in vernac. Can you do it in like some Zulu? Can you throw it out there?
Okay, I'll try in Tswana. Yo, okay.
Okay. It's just because it has a bit of a, you know, like that one in imina oqala oqale ukwenza ama plastic surgery nangu ke ukhanya afika la uthi uzosibonisa ngoba yena use light mina ngine BMW
on my jaw. I'm kidding, guys. It's not plastic surgery.
BMW.
No, let me not lie, because I'm sure that someone will pull out this podcast and I'm really famous.
Yeah.
And be like, say, she said it.
Proof.
She said it.
Yeah.
No, it's not proper plastic surgery. It's just maxilla facial surgery.
I say, yeah, bona manje, kuna ma celebrity, bathi bona bashate kakhulu, bashate kai 1, bashate kai 2, bashate kai 3. Mina ngiqale kayo leyo nto leyo.
And you do hold that record, hey? Like you are probably. Mina
ngiya shada nje.
And you are mad.
I want to make fun of shado. Ungaza kim. Mina ngizokunika lo mshado ufunayo.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny. Women are like, oh my gosh, men don't want to commit. They don't want to get married.
Dude,
and then there's
Tamisha
like, Masha, who's
hey.
Just like, I'm handing out engagement rings.
Yeah, I was handing them out.
You're like,
see
Oprah.
What comes back. You get an engagement ring. You get an engagement ring.
Everybody gets an engagement ring.
You get a great wedding reception. You get a great wedding reception. You get divorce papers. Okay.
Yeah,
it's so good that we started there though, because we've got somebody really exciting in the studio that we're going to introduce you to a little bit later, and we're going to be talking about you, ladies, and what to look for in a man. Because you know, a lot of times you're looking for Mr. Right. Well, we got somebody who knows him personally.
I know.
And he himself is actually, you know,
yeah,
I'm feeling a little bit intimidated today.
It's so funny. It's like different scripts now. Mm. Because once upon a time, he related the story before we went on air.
Ladies,
about
you need to
how
listen
you
in.
Were slaying.
Yeah. Because when I was driving in, he was walking into the building, right?
Oh, really?
And I saw him and I was like, dang, that's our
maybe
guest,
I should turn back.
And like, he's tall and, you know, he's in good shape and he's, I don't know. There's no point. I feel like I'm over and above requirements. I don't need to be here. You know what I mean? So, but I came in anyway. I was brave.
You are like the carrots on the side.
Yeah.
For a great meal.
You know what I mean?
You're like,
and
you're
you get that one carrot. In fact, no. I'm that
garnish.
Green stuff. I felt like garnish. This guy makes me feel like garnish, ladies. Like, I'm like, what's the point of this thing?
No, but don't joke.
Do you eat it? Do you put it on the side of the plate?
It's decor. It's decoration.
I'm just decor today.
For the palette.
That's what I am. So you got to stick around.
And I posted this picture on Facebook and people are like, oh, okay.
Okay, now we're tuning.
Okay. Let's see what he's got to say.
By the way, did you watch the Psalmist? Did you know anything about the Psalmist?
I didn't.
So I didn't know what was going on. Yes,
Crystal
won a lot, right? Yeah. And then yesterday I'm driving around in Pretoria,
mm-hmm.
and I see Sunday Sun billboards or posters, and they're saying that Zahara is suing Somizi.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next one is Somizi says he's sorry to Zahara.
Yes.
I'm like, am I the only one who doesn't know what's going on, right?
Yes.
But it turns out that apparently Somizi made a joke that there's going to be an after party and it's going to be at the bar, but the first person to get there will probably be Zahara.
Yes.
And she didn't take it very well. Eh? So she's suing you for defamation.
If the truth hurts, what can we say?
But I was like, how do you sue someone for defamation? Like, okay, if he's wrong and you're not the first person at the bar, so he was wrong.
Yeah.
You can say, ah, you see, you were wrong.
No, it's because...
But if you are the first person at the bar, would you then sue him for defamation?
You know what it is? Firstly, I think we're getting very American in both our ways. Like, I mean, all of a sudden, we're also suing just for random ish, right?
Yeah.
But then I'm like, well, everyone, it's been heard through the rumor pipes that Zahara's got a bit of a problem when
Look,
it comes to the liquor.
She admitted herself, you know? She
yeah, and I think, you know, when that, like, jab, it's like that subtle jab that just hits your soul.
Yeah,
I think that's what happened to her. She got, like, in her feelings.
What I learned from that lesson, by the way,
stop just saying things.
No, you must say them first, because no one can hurt you if you've already admitted it.
Yes, yes.
Like,
yes.
If you say, yo, if there's an after party and there's a bar, I'm going to be the first one there.
Yeah.
So when Somizi makes the joke, it's just like, it is what it is.
Yeah,
you can laugh along.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was thinking to myself, if anyone is listening to our show, there'll be a lot that they could glean from us.
Yes.
That if we're ever that famous that someone made a joke about us and they were the Sama host, that it wouldn't be a problem with.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with my top three.
Oh.
I'm just going to go right in there.
Oh.
So I'm making this up as I go along.
Okay,
so my number three would probably be like embarrassing stuff that I've probably said about myself, that I've busted myself on.
Okay.
So if someone said it, I actually cannot sue them on.
Okay, go on.
You know what I mean?
Go on.
I once did say that my side chick was at my birthday party.
You did. I think you actually said it to me
in the seat with the microphone on and live. So Mizi ever went out there and he said, you know, hold on to your side chicks because Demisha's in the building. I can't see him. I actually can't see him. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And then number two is I've had quite a lot of, I've crashed all my cars.
Yes.
I really have.
Yeah.
Like every time I get a car,
it's
inevitable. It's just a matter of time. I can't even blame other people now. I've tried to pass the blame.
Now we know.
So insurers should know now that if Somizi goes out there and says, listen, if this guy's got a Porsche, you best raise the premium. I can't sue him for that.
Okay.
And then number one.
I think we probably have a similar number one. Yours is just upgraded.
All these relationships, man.
Yep.
You know, all these relationships.
Yeah.
I've introduced a lot of people to my mama.
Oh. She must be tired.
I think so. Yeah. She's like, I've got room for one more introduction. I'm going to learn one more woman's name.
And then it's game over.
I'm just going to call the next one the last one's name.
No, you know what? Like my friend and I do this to one of our mutual friends who's, you know, she's a fluid dater, bless her. And
that's what it's called, fluid dater.
I just came up with that. And like, we just name the guys where we meet them. So if we happen to be at, you know, Rocco Mamas, that's what we're going to call you. Like if we meet
data.
One of the people we met was at the Apartheid Museum and we call them Apartheid. Like, and it just hasn't.
Just because it's just easier.
It's easier.
it's easier,
I mean,
girl.
It's so hard getting invested in someone's name and being like Graham and Paul. Yeah. And, you know, you start messing them up and there's no point to it.
Yeah. And what would you say your top three are?
Oh my goodness, shit. Okay, three. I don't know, probably my hairstyle. Like,
you changed them hairstyles. But you haven't changed them for a while.
No, you know, I mean, the fact that my hair changes color and it's like a mohawk inspired hairstyle. Like, I mean, I look like a peacock most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
My big ass eyes. Like,
And so Somizi can't diss you about that and expect to be sued.
Actually, my looks. Let's just put that in a whole box of its own. So that would be number three. Number two. Shabbat, what would number two be? Help me. My number one is
the same number one, right?
Yeah, but like, what's number two? I don't know. I don't say a lot of stuff.
I say a lot of stuff. Well, you're cooking.
Oh, my cooking. Oh, yeah. Don't marry
me. Ladies,
my cooking.
The after party, the food's going to be great because Candace is not cooking. People can laugh at that. And you can't be like, I'm suing you. How dare you? I've got sponsored. I'm being sponsored by Knorr mayonnaise. Like, no. Like, Knorr should have known.
Oh, yeah, no. Shit. Like, and I've been trying lately. Like, I've been trying because I lied to myself.
I remember you sent a picture once of what you were making. I was so glad I hadn't been invited to your house for dinner that night.
And you still lied to me. You're like, it looks great. I'm like, it tastes disgusting.
You know when you invited someone's house for dinner and you get there,
yeah,
and then they serve dinner and you're hurt in your heart. You're like, you knew I was coming, right? You knew I was coming, and this is what you made.
No, I've got respect. Like, if I do invite people, I make sure I stock up on more words. Yeah, or like, you know, like my mom would cook or something. But it's not my strongest point. Because when I'm cooking, I feel like Jamie Oliver. I start throwing things and just, as long as it looks pretty, then that's what I do.
Okay.
And then my number one, I think my failure of maintaining relationships.
Failure to launch.
I think I've had more relationships having been on the show. Yeah.
I think we're rubbing off on each other.
Yes.
Like, someone's the problem.
I mean, literally.
Someone is the problem.
When we met,
I don't know
I was
who
in
it
one
is.
Relationship. And then, like
count.
A couple.
No,
and then it was another counting. Person. And then I just realized I'm pissing off very powerful people. Yeah, so I should just stop dating right now.
I'm also pissing them off because I just joined your side because I know you. I'm not doing that again.
Yeah,
the next guy you break up with, I'm like, it was definitely her fault, dude. I don't know what happened, but it was her.
You know how many restaurants I can't go eat at now? Like, and how many other places I
day.
Can't go?
Okay.
Yeah, so that's mine.
Well, let's just get straight to it.
Yes! Actually, on the point of failed relationships. It couldn't be a better introduction.
Yeah, after all that, thank God that we have somebody who can help us now.
Yeah.
In the studio with us, we've got a gentleman by the name of Kofi Ofori Boateng. No relation to Prince Boateng.
Or nope. Kofi Annan.
Nope.
No, that's his first.
I know.
Okay.
I had to put it out there.
Chicks from the suburbs with blonde hair. Like your hair, you colored it blonde. You are not born that way. Why are you acting blonde now?
Just do the introduction.
Okay. He is a very well-dressed man, and so he should be because he's a designer as well.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also an author of an amazing book, which is Notes to My Sister. And the title of the book is Let Him Serve You. How are you doing, my brother?
I'm all good. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm good, man. So good to have you in the studio. I'm very excited.
Mm-hmm.
When I was on your website yesterday, and I was reading about, what did I say yesterday? The whole week when I found out that you're going to be here. And I was reading about all the things that you've achieved and all the things that you've done. And actually, even about this book, I was like really excited to talk to you about it. But just let's talk through, before we get to the book, your career highlights. Because you've done quite a number of things, you know. Your motivational speaker, amongst other things as well.
Yeah.
But before you were a motivational speaker, what were some of the things, the highlights of your career that you'd like to just, you know, that we can talk about?
Wow. Well, first off, greetings to all the listeners. I don't really like to talk about myself that much. So,
okay. Okay.
So it's gonna be really
let me start. So did you start in fashion, or was that something that came about a little bit later?
Okay. So I went to tertiary for fashion design. That's what I studied back in tertiary. That was back at PE Technicon.
Okay.
The late 90s. I'm giving my age away here. And so graduated from design school, and shortly after that went into the call center.
Mm-hmm.
Worked as a call center agent. For a few
who
years.
If you want to be successful, if you know you're on the right path,
you have to start.
You have to
you
be a call center agent.
You have to. It's a rite of passage. So,
yeah.
I was in the call center for a few years, and then basically just I've been in corporate for the better part of the last 15, 16 years.
Okay.
And Worked
for
MTN.
Cell C,
Nashua Mobile.
Mm. You've been in the networks, a lot.
Yeah, I've been very promiscuous when it comes to the networks.
That's okay.
So
I've done a couple of voices for them as well. You know, it's cool.
Yeah. That's real money, though. That's real
money. Really?
Yeah,
really?
That's the real money right there. So, I've been in corporate most of the, most of my career, and just a few years ago, I decided to go into the speaking side of things, and that's pretty much what kicked things off. From speaking, I got into TV commercials. From TV commercials, writing, and so on. So
awesome. Was writing something that you always had in mind that you'd one day like to do?
Yeah, well, my dad's an author, so the apple doesn't really fall far from the tree in that regard. I just didn't think I was gonna write a book.
Yeah.
I used to write songs. I used to write poetry. You know how it is growing up and everything, trying to impress the girls. I love you.
Yeah.
One day you love me too.
Yeah. So 1 + 1 is 2.
It's 2.
You and me equals 4. I don't know.
I just made that up. Oh my gosh, I'm like, that's terrible.
That's terrible.
Hey, you know, so
I never dated as a teenager.
It's the effort.
A for effort.
Yeah.
A for effort.
So Yeah, I wrote, but I never actually thought it was going to culminate in a book, but it has, and I haven't been able to stop.
But when you did start writing, I mean, you could have written about so many other things. I mean, fashion, you could have written about your area of expertise at the particular time. Why did you write a book for women?
Good question. Well, the thing is, it didn't really turn out that way. I always thought, because when I started speaking, initially what happened was I started blogging first.
Okay.
So I started a blog back in 2014. And I was writing it more for the guys because I had just gotten out of a marriage and it took a huge toll on me. So my whole intention was to try and get guys who were in a similar space to, you know, heal and come out of that without any bitterness, without any resentment, without any pain.
Oh, wow.
That they were then going to inflict on someone else. And the more I wrote, most of my feedback and most of the support seemed to be coming from the ladies.
Oh, okay.
And which is quite natural because guys don't really want to open up that much and talk.
So even if they did have feedback, they just weren't telling you.
At least not online. They'd see me in person and be like, "Yo, dude, listen, we need to talk. I'm going through some stuff."
Yeah.
So the ladies were quite vocal about it, and online I got quite a bit of feedback. When I started doing the talks again, once again it was the ladies who were very vocal, and I was at a seminar, a TV show. Back in, it was last year actually, with Tabang Mashiho, one of my mentors, and she had put together an event on marriage, divorce, and relationships.
Okay.
And there was a panel of speakers, and when we opened the floor up to questions, there were a lot of ladies who stood up and started to articulate their pain, and that's what actually inspired the book.
Oh, wow.
Because for a lot of women, it was a case of getting into a relationship based on how they felt about a guy versus whether the guy was right for them, whether the guy was going to serve them, whether the guy was going to benefit their lives in any way.
Yeah.
I think a lot of the time the narrative is always that women want something from a guy, but reality usually bears out that women end up doing more than the guy does in the relationship. It's not always the case, but the numbers.
Well, here's what the book is about. Yeah. Notes to My Sister, Let Him Serve You, is a thought-provoking read that details the service of a man to his woman in 12 specific areas of life. And we're going to get into that right now.
Okay.
Simply written and laid out, it is a call to women to allow themselves to be served by the men worthy of their love. Kofi holds no punches in this frank perspective of modern-day relationships and the potential pitfalls that women must circumvent when they are found by a good man. Have you ever been found by a good man?
Does it look like I've been found by a good man, too?
Maybe you didn't know because you hadn't read the book.
That's true.
So this is not...
No, that is very
from what I gather from just that, this is not just about, ladies, you need to be found by a good man. But sometimes, ladies, you might have been found by a good man. You just didn't know it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I want to just hit off with basically the first chapter, which is Your Man.
Your Man.
Your Man. For me, there's a lot of ownership in that, and I suppose in the positive, because at the end of the day, it's your man. You chose your man.
Yeah.
Now here's your man.
Yeah.
Now deal with it.
What did you choose?
Exactly.
Who is your man? What's your take? That's what I got. I was like, yeah, but it's your man.
Yeah.
I hear you complaining, but it's your what? No, it's your
actually,
man.
I want to actually find out what. How do you find that women tend to choose their potential partners? You know, in your experience, when women speak to you and they say, "I've met this incredible guy," usually, what are they referring to?
All right. Well, sorry about that.
That was a sigh of sadness.
All right. So right now there is just, in my experience, there's a lot of confusion around what a woman should be looking for in a man.
Yeah.
And what constitutes a good man, and you know. I'll be on social media, whether it's Facebook, Instagram, whatever, and you see a couple wearing matching sneakers and they're like relationship goals.
Oh, yes.
I'm sorry, guys. Maybe I'm shallow, but for me, that's a big one. I like that kind of stuff. That stuff tears me up.
No, I'm sure you can have it, but
there's
I mean...
Wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it, but a relationship goal, really? Like, not a fashion goal?
Oh, I see. Should we have said that instead?
Styling goal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it means you're so in tune that it's like, it doesn't matter.
Or maybe you're just buying me sneakers. sneakers so that y'all can match.
Yeah,
you know,
matching.
You know, instead of the double pleat pants. Yeah, but usually women tend to lead with their emotions more than anything else, and I don't like to dip into scripture too much, but every now and then I do because
nothing wrong with the brother preach.
All right, brother, like, let me do that. Let me do exactly that. Well, so even in the Bible, women are told, do not awaken love before its time. And
that's powerful.
It really is if we apply it. But a lot of the time, a woman will meet a guy who seems on the surface to have everything she's looking for.
Okay.
But he hasn't really earned a place in her life. He hasn't earned her trust. He hasn't earned her respect. He hasn't earned anything from her that should allow her to give him that status in her life. But women do that based on how they feel. Now, Candace and I were talking earlier off about how, you know, the hormones and the chemical rush.
The dopamine.
The
baby.
Dopamine just, you know, gets us going and everything. Yeah. And by the time you realize what's going on,
you're like, damn.
You're already in it.
Damn.
You get what I'm saying?
Oh, so, God, he's never been to the dentist. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You know, like, that
he brushes once a week.
But it's essentially that, and a lot of women are finding themselves in situations where this would not have been their first choice, but they allowed themselves to develop feelings for this person, or they got intimate with this person to such an extent that now they can't see themselves outside of the relationship or not with the person anymore. So it's a really painful place to be in.
Yeah,
but look, immediately from the get-go, like page two in the first chapter, you already say, in fact, page one is, Woman, you've got to submit.
Yeah.
But you've got to submit to a submitted man.
Yeah.
Right? He himself has first got to have submitted himself to God.
Yeah.
And he has also got to model that submission of being submitted by submitting to you as a woman as well.
Yeah.
I'd like to just
delve
into that a little bit, because I think that's something that as modern couples in modern relationships, I think there's a big struggle of submission. There's a lot of competition, but there's no submission.
Well, looking at the South African context, for example, it's understandable to a large degree. When you talk to most black women, they're talking about how strong they are. Actually, women, South African women, period, talk about how strong they are and how strong they've had to be. So if you're looking at someone who's had to be strong her whole life and you walk in there talking about, I want you to submit to me. How's she going to do that? A lot of the traditional roles that we have upheld as a society don't necessarily apply anymore. Women are out there getting great jobs, making good money. Yeah. They're running businesses. They're running corporations. So as a man, if you come in talking about she needs to submit, what is she submitting to? What role are you playing in the life that she needs to she needs to submit to? So when I talk about a man submitting to God, firstly, it shows that, okay, fine, his character is in line.
All right.
Because what's happening right now is, for a lot of women, the issue is not necessarily a man's financial status. It's more his character. We know guys who are multi-billionaires who lack character and who cannot be what they need to be to their spouses and to their children. So she's looking for someone who has that character that she can fall in under and say, okay, fine, you know what? You got this. Lead. I'll follow.
I love that you start off with that, because I feel like the modern world has really betrayed us on that particular one. Because character has gone out the window. It's about, but can he provide? Because you spoke about being a millionaire, and I myself, the mistakes that I've made in a relationship, I think I was caught up in that. Where it's like,
I'm financially,
you like that
providing.
Car you drive, right?
Yeah.
You like the house you live in?
Yeah.
Why do I need to work on my character and be submitted to God? And actually, that is more important than anything else. You know. And then I wanted to go to the next step now and just say, how do you think a man should submit to a woman in a way that he can lead her into that submission?
Okay.
Without seeming like he's just weak. You know what I mean? Right. Because that's also important. A woman, I believe, wants a strong man. But the funny thing is, submitting is a play on strength. It's where you actually are strong.
All right. So when I look at, when I break down the word submission, submitter basically means to yield, for example, to lay under, or to almost to allow. All right. So it's a conscious choice. It's a conscious decision. It can't be enforced in a person. Now, when two people come into a relationship, male and female, we need to understand both of them are equal. They may be different, but they're equal.
Mm-hmm.
And their differences speak to different sets of strengths and different sets of abilities. Men can do a lot of the things that women can do, but not all. Women can do a lot of the things that men can do, but not all. Mm-hmm. So like now, there's going to have to be some kind of cooperation between the two.
Mm.
When she comes with her role as a man, are you going to let her play her role? Or are you going to just say, you know what, let me tell you what your role is going to be.
Mm.
You don't even know what her strengths are. You don't necessarily know what her strengths are. You don't know what level of wisdom she's coming with, what level of intuition she's coming with. You're just telling her, you know what, just get in where you fit in.
Yeah.
Sure.
And let me do this. Now, in doing so, yes, you exert control, but you exert no real influence, and you're not enjoying any real assistance from her.
Okay.
Because
yes,
like,
yes,
what you're doing is curtailing or curbing the power that she's bringing into the relationship.
Mm.
So as a man, once you say, I'm going to submit, you're basically saying, whatever you bring to the table
so
that we can achieve the shared goal, I'm going to let you do.
I like that.
Understand that I have this portion right here, but whatever else you need to be doing, I'm gonna let you handle it.
There's so many chapters that I want to go through, but I love what you just said there, because I think the first thing that you got to do is choose the right person to begin
with
that you can submit to.
Yeah.
And I suppose we can go into a whole bunch of things about that. That comes with also you being the right person first. But what I've learned over the years is where I was always making a mistake as well is. We all have different strengths. Mm. And sometimes a woman's strength might not be the one that you expected. Like, for example, a woman's strength might not necessarily be in doing the dishes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It might be something else. Mm. It might actually be in advising you in your business or your career. She might have an insight. And a lot of the times women do. I love womanly, feminine wisdom is so powerful. Mm. And what we do as men is we tend to go, I got this. I've been doing this for a while. And here you come. Mm. And now you're going to tell me I must do this and I can do that better if I did that and blah, blah, blah. No. Stay in your lane. Mm-hmm. Just wash the dishes.
Yeah.
And it's like, actually, we can get someone else to wash the dishes. Tell me again, what do you think I should do? You know what I mean?
Mm. Yeah. And I feel like what I like about this whole thing is that, you know, I feel sometimes relationships in modern society, right, are all about perceived happiness.
Yes.
So all of us, like, if you date a good looking guy
and
you guys look good together in pictures and the world says, oh my gosh, you guys are
I love that.
You know, but the problem is with that, if you just focus on the external validation of society, most of the time we're actually lacking the intimacy that we require from our partners, you know, that part that allows you to grow and assist you to become a better person, which is why you enter a relationship in the first place.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, that's
where... For me, it's like, actually, your man is choose a powerful man. And by powerful, we don't necessarily mean he's got a great car and he's got a big bank account.
Yeah.
But he's powerful in who he thinks he is and in the Lord.
Yeah.
Because then he will see your power and allow your power to be at its maximum, and he will yield to that, which is what we need in relationships so much.
You know, like, it's... I love what you just said right there, Tamisha. There's another scripture in the Bible that says a woman is the glory of her man. So something that a lot of guys are missing right now is the fact that when a woman comes into your life or a woman comes into your home.
We don't want to miss this. Come as close. Just come right to the mic so we can hear you.
Okay.
So, yeah.
When a woman comes into a man's life or into a man's home, she needs to become his glory. She needs to become greater and not diminish. A lot of guys are bringing women into their homes. They don't want them to work. They don't want them to contribute. They don't want them to grow. Nothing. So these women diminish. They shrink. But the guys who are getting it right are the ones who are letting the women blossom in their wisdom, blossom in their strengths, blossom in their abilities and their skills. These women go out there and they shine. And as she shines, that is ample evidence
of
your power as a man. You know, it's not a powerful man who controls a woman. A weak man does that.
Yes.
It's not a powerful man who dominates a woman. A weak man does that.
Yeah.
A powerful man is one who accepts that this is power that I'm holding right here, and I can't hold it and suppress it. You can't do that. You have to open your hands up and let it radiate. And as it radiates and it makes an impact in the world around her, you instantly benefit. From that. So
that's amazing, because what you're saying now is kind of what we were talking about last week, where the psychic said to you that you've got an immense power and you need to be careful who you allow yourself to share your life with, because by essence, if they try to diminish you, if they even, because they can't, but if they even try, it's not going to work out for you or that other person. But then again, I want to go to another thing, because we're talking about power.
Yes.
And you talked about the femininity, the power of femininity,
the female power
that I think a lot of us don't really understand. There's a hashtag, you know, male feminists and all sorts of things like that. But do we really understand what a feminine power is?
All right.
How do you define it?
So when we talk about feminine and masculine energies, we're not necessarily talking about sexes. We're talking about a type of energy. So a masculine energy is an energy that is all about logic, if you will. It's all about exploration, controlling, definition,
conquering, you know, ambition,
conquering all of those things. And then on the other side, you have feminine, which is nurturing, which is also exploratory, but in a different sense. It leans more on the side of caring, consideration.
And it's a gentle energy.
That's the other misconception that we have of the feminine energy. The feminine energy is anything it wants to be. It's pretty much anything it wants to be. You see, like, a woman can have both. In fact, we all have masculine and feminine energies. Women are exactly the same. Now, a woman who has had to play a man's role her whole life has had to lean more on the masculine side of things. So when you come across her, she seems a lot colder, a lot more harder than a more feminine woman. Now, just because a woman is more feminine does not mean that her power is any less. In fact, chances are she's more in tune with what makes her feminine or what makes her female. So like, now what you're going to find is that she's more in touch with her emotions. And a woman's feeling life is a lot like a man's thought life.
A man
lives in his thoughts. A woman lives in her feelings.
Yes.
That's why a lot of women will make decisions based on how they feel in a relationship, and a man will look at
logically how it's going to work out,
not necessarily how he feels about a woman. Now, where we tend to mess up as guys is we now start saying to women, no, listen, your femininity is too confusing. It's too much for me. I can't handle it. Please be more like a man. In doing so, you are actually limiting yourself as a man. You're limiting your ability to learn and your ability to grow, because that femininity is there to serve you.
Yeah.
She's there to push you, to prod you, to coax you, to guide you. But sometimes we call that manipulation. We call that nagging.
It's
only manipulation and nagging if you're refusing to see the value in what she's saying. That's the only time.
Look, I think sorry.
No, go on.
But only a fool would underestimate the power of the woman in his life. You know what I mean? A woman has the power through whatever we want to call it. But if you look at most successful men in the world, they do have a woman right next to them.
Yes.
Or behind them, however you want to say it. But actually that success can be totally attributed to how she played her role, her feminine role in his life. And I suppose maybe the only thing that we're struggling with in modern society is not giving props to that feminine power. A lot of us men are not saying, actually, the reason why you see me here getting this award, being the president or whatever, here's the woman next to me who made this possible because of how she helped me, she guided me, she instructed, she saw things that I couldn't see, her intuition and things like that.
It's very similar to, I've been watching Genius, which is chronicling Einstein's life, you know, as he's, you know, as he's become Einstein. And it's so funny that the woman he ended up being with and who had his kids is the very woman who actually put his thoughts onto paper, because Einstein was incredibly scattered. And had she not come into his space and say, let's do this, let's actually put it on paper, let me help you. And she helped many of his ideas, you know, creatively. And she, and I think in the previous episode, she was like, but how come you've never thanked me? You know, just to say, you've mentioned your male coworker who's like, oh no, you know, thanks to him, but why have, and he's like, I just never thought of it. Like, I didn't see it as anything I'd have to do because you're my wife. But sorry, go on.
No, please.
Yeah, so I actually want to go back to the feminine and masculine energy. So I've been looking a lot into that, because I operate predominantly in my masculine space, you know, so it's very hard for me to
you're
be
in your thoughts all the time.
It's an awful place. No, I'm kidding. But I mean, because I'm surrounded by masculine energy constantly, you know, I don't have to operate from a feminine and feeling place. And I actually read something that says a woman who's constantly in a masculine space will always attract a man who's more in the feminine space.
Yes.
And he'll be indecisive. He'll be emotional, and he can't commit.
And then I looked
at my dating history, and I realized that all the men I commit to, or get into relationships, are indecisive.
Wow.
And they always open up to me like, I've never opened up to anyone like this. And I'm like, biatch.
Why are you in your feelings, guy? Why are you in your feelings right now? Huh?
Like, where am I going to find a man's man?
Then I need a man.
A man.
I just feel, I'm not sure if we should balance, go to that restaurant.
The thing is, a balanced man won't want to be with an imbalanced woman.
That's the thing. So we talk about the energies, like the feminine energy, mm-hmm. the masculine energy, and then in between you have the balanced people. Mm. Balanced people attract balanced people because they're balanced.
Yeah.
Masculine men will look for their polar opposite, which is the feminine.
Mm.
Feminine women will look for the polar opposite, which is the masculine. Now, exactly like you said, because you have a higher masculine energy, you will always attract that kind of man. Now the question is, do you want to remain in that space? Are you comfortable in the masculine space?
No.
Okay.
You need to get some balance.
No.
Okay. But now here's the thing. As you seek to find balance, because you want to be with a masculine guy, the chances are you're going to be at constant loggerheads with him.
Mm.
Because he's going to want to direct, you're also going to want to direct.
Yes.
He's going to want to lead, you're also going to want to lead. So it's all about finding a balance between the two.
Yeah.
And ultimately, no matter where you are looking for balance.
Mm.
And if you can find that, you're good to go.
And that's the crazy thing. Like, see, because you were discussing, the feminine, masculine energy. And I think a lot of the times people do look at it as very gender-based, know, that a man is da-da-da-da-da and a woman is da. But all of us have these parts within ourselves that actually balance each other out.
Yeah.
And I think it's the path of constantly seeking to improve yourself.
Yes.
And the one question I want to ask, why, in your opinion, do you find that so many women are unhappily single? Like, I mean, being single is such a place of growth and nurturing. You can learn about, you can learn that you've got too much masculine energy versus, feminine energy. Yeah. But when women come to you and they complain and they're like, when am I going to find a good man? what do you find?
Well, a lot of it has to do with societal pressure.
Mm.
So society has put a premium on women who...
sorry. We got to go there next. Keep on talking. Yeah. Found a nugget.
He found the sex chapter, people. Society puts a lot of pressure on women to get married, to have kids, to have a man.
Mm.
And you were talking about genius earlier.
Yes.
Part of the problem is not just the men. Part of the problem is how women have wholesale sold themselves down the river.
Yeah.
So instead of women acknowledging their worth, acknowledging their strength, acknowledging their power first, they're now saying, I'm willing to give that up just so society can see me as successful with a man.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate.
I'd rather be a Mrs.
I'd rather be a Mrs.
So-and-so with his success than be my own power.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm. So for me, it's key for women to come to a place where they accept that, look, I am complete as it is.
Mm.
I am perfect as I am.
Mm.
I'm going to work on me. I'm going to explore. I'm going to grow. I'm going to travel. I'm going to work. I'm going to do all these things. And when I find someone along the way who can journey with me, I'll be able to see him for what he is instead of looking at him for what society thinks he should be.
Wow.
So,
geez, that's beautiful.
I love that we've gone to society.
Yeah. Okay.
Because that's where I was going next.
All right.
It wasn't a sex talk.
Okay. All right.
and here's something that I find, like, we have just, I'm going to call myself out first.
Yes.
We have, I'm sorry if I'm going to say this and it's going to sound terrible, but we have become some bitch ass men,
Straight up.
Because you talk about this in society, and I love where you start off with. It's like a man needs to treat his woman like a queen.
Yeah. Mm.
That means she's never challenged by anyone, not even himself.
Yeah. Yes.
And that means he cannot go out there and just start whinging and moaning and saying these things about his woman. And
oh,
I know that, guys, if you want to fail at a relationship, get a group of men in a room, especially at a room where there's liquor involved other women, and then let's start talking about all the terrible things your wife did to you, and then you start sharing, then you start sharing, then you start sharing, and let's see where that takes
imprisonment.
Anybody.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm. Exactly, right? And I just want to go into that a little bit, because actually where we're failing as men at the moment, and I'm just, maybe this is me, I don't know if the other guys have got this right, but we tend to actually just want to whinge and moan and get into a committee of whinges and moaners about the women in our life instead of lifting her up.
Yes.
And making sure that my family, my friends, everybody, the society, if she's in a magazine with me, she's my queen.
Yes.
You don't say nothing bad about
her. Nothing bad about her. And it's exactly that. Look, there was a time when men protected.
Mm.
When men understood that, look, this is, I love the hip hop expression, my wisdom, you know, my earth. You know, right? The earth is a source of life. So now you're gonna take your source of life, your source of wisdom, your source of everything good from God. He who finds a wife finds a good thing, the scriptures say. Now you're gonna take this good thing that you've been given and you're gonna go out there and talk bad about her. A couple of things could happen. Firstly, given the current state of manhood, where guys usually have no character, have no backbone, have no principles, have no moral, have no scruples, he's gonna sit there and listen to you whinging about your wife. He's gonna be looking at this woman that you're running down and thinking, if I had a woman half that good, I'll be so far in life right now. So now he's already scheming on how he's going to take her off your hands. That's where we're at
right,
now.
You know, because it's like, you don't want to.
You don't want to. I'll take her. You know, that song by LL Scratch, I'll take her.
Yeah, I'll take her.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's it on the one hand. On the other hand, you, in doing that, you're frustrating her. And just to get scriptural again for a second, any man who frustrates his wife and causes her to cry blocks his own blessing.
I'm funny.
Where's Tumisha? That's crazy.
It sounds harsh, but let me break it down for you, like please. On a spiritual level.
Yeah. So
now,
give us an antidote while you're at it.
Treat her right.
Yeah. Okay. Treat her right, guys.
Okay. So we're talking about energies, all right, and the fact that women are emotional creatures. Now, I'm not sure if you guys believe in the law of attraction.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
So in the law of attraction, it's not necessarily your thoughts that attract things.
It's your feelings.
It's your feelings that attract things. Men are not as powerful emotionally as women are. That's just the facto.
Yeah.
Okay. Women are more powerful emotionally. Now, when she is happy, what's she going to attract?
She's going to manifest good things.
She's going to attract good things. When she's unhappy, what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah.
That guy.
Life.
I hope his car breaks down and then he can't go to work. That's that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like now she's in that space. You put her in that space. And it's not that she necessarily wants to be in that space.
Gosh.
But you are the target of every negative thought that she's having. So all your dreams, all your goals, all your prayers, all your anything
are being stunted,
because the negative energy she's shielding you with. Because remember, you're a couple now.
Yeah.
So whatever she projects, you're a part of that now.
Sure.
And she's gonna hold you back. So it's deeper than just, you know, her looking good and acting happy out there. If she is genuinely unhappy, and you're causing that unhappiness, you are blocking your own happiness and your own progress in life.
Wow. Like, I mean, that's crazy.
Okay.
But I mean, after hearing something like that, I mean, how do we go out and just haphazardly date? Because I think society's told
everything.
Us. No, because society's told us that, you know, if you're an empowered woman, then you should just be out there and just be doing the most, you know, with your body and physicality. And, you know, and a part of me understands that. I'm like, you know, you're a woman, you're entitled to do what you want to do. But I mean, I'm also a person who believes in energy. So women are receivers. We are bold to receive so that we can give birth and manifest.
Yes.
So if you are just receiving from any old Tom, Dick and Harry out there, I mean, how much spiritual energy are you actually holding on
taking
to?
In. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I mean, when women come to you and they say, you know, what am I doing wrong? Where must I start? How do I go into this and say, you know, I'm looking for a good man. So how do I fix me? Like the woman who really want to fix themselves.
Yeah.
You know, what
that's a good start.
Yes.
Like that. You want the right being
don't,
is
don't,
right.
Yeah, don't be trying to fix nobody.
Yeah.
Just fix you. So what do you, what advice do you give them?
Well, exactly what you're saying. Start with yourself. Start with yourself. What do you want from a partner? Be that to yourself first. I was talking about how women have, especially in South Africa, identify themselves as strong. Strength does not necessarily mean not loving yourself and not placing a priority on yourself. Strength means that you place yourself exactly where you're supposed to be, and you are in a position where, because you love yourself, you respect yourself, you honor yourself, you feed yourself enough to be strong enough to help who needs to be helped.
Jeez.
But if you're constantly giving, giving, you deplete yourself. And sadly, we see this with wives. We see this with mothers.
Yes.
Mm. they just give. They just give. The husband would say, you know what, baby, take a weekend off, rest. And she's like, no, the kids need to do this. Yes. The kids need to do that. But how is he supposed to love you if you can't even love yourself? How are your kids supposed to respect you when you don't even respect yourself? Mm. You're telling them to eat the greens because you know it's healthy and it's right, but you aren't even doing what is good for you.
Sure.
So for women, it always has to start, just like men, it always has to start with you. Start loving yourself. Mm. Start respecting yourself. Start understanding that, you know, the bad chicks exist for a reason.
Yeah.
All right. Mm. Everyone wants a bad chick.
Yeah.
They exist for a reason.
The new it thing.
You get what I'm saying? Like nobody wants to wife a bad chick. The only guy who wants to wife a bad chick is someone who's got a plan for that chick to profit off of her most of the time.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
The guy looking for a good woman is looking for someone that he can build with. Mm. But if you have not been able to build yourself up, whether it's mentally, academically, spiritually, whatever, how are you going to go into a marriage and help build someone else? Essentially, what you're saying is that like I can give this to you for a couple of years, but because I can't sustain it, I'm going to burn out within a certain time frame, and you're going to be on your own. That's what women are essentially saying. That's what they do. They burn out, and now it's on something like, where's the garden boy?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's
I mean, that's hectic. I must say a big ups to my sister-in-law who gave herself a break yesterday and went to a spa overnight. Yes.
Do
and,
it,
and let my brother look after the kids, the 5-year-old and the 3-month-old, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
And because I think that, you know, in relationships, where we go wrong is women, especially when there's a newborn or a small baby, they don't want to give themselves that moment to just. And then what happens is the man is there going, I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. And you're like, but you're not helping me. You know. And he's like, if you would just let me take over, go.
Yeah. Yes.
And that is actually a show of strength. When a woman can say, you know what?
Mm.
You are their father too.
Yes.
I'll be back in a day or so.
Yeah.
I'm sure you will be fine. And if you're not, you know what? You'll figure it out.
I figured it out.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then she comes back a much better person to be around.
But that's the thing, because when we deplete of ourselves, like you are saying, it's hard for you to be happy, because we are both to become
You're resentful
both
now. Because you're like, resentful. I couldn't even go to the spa and I wanted to go, but you know, you don't know how to look after the kids. And
your kids look at you and they like, because the one thing I promised myself growing up, I always say to myself, I want to accomplish so much so that by the time I have kids, they look at me and they're like, wow, you know, she is happy. She's not doing this. She didn't have me to save herself. She's actually authentically happy to be with me, and she knows how to take care of herself. Because Jada Pinkett Smith actually released a video in which she was talking about motherhood, and she was like, society tells you you're a bad mother if you're not constantly staring at your child, you know, everything your child is doing, and God forbid you actually take care of yourself or you go back to work, because work feeds your soul, and it gives you purpose, and it gives you, you know. And
my mother was a working woman, and that was the best gift she could give us.
Yeah.
Right,
going back to work.
Yeah, because she was going to become your problem.
Yeah, she was always, you know, she wasn't always there. And what she told me was, you just got to figure it out, son. You know, a lot of times it was like, you got to learn how to cook. You got to learn how to clean, because I'm not going to be here to do that for you.
Yeah.
And it made me a better human, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. And you don't resent your mother.
No.
You know, if anything, you respect and you want your woman.
I respect her work ethic. You know, I look at her and I said, that is an example of a hardworking woman. Mm. We can still come home and cook an amazing meal.
Yeah.
But she's also taught me how to cook an amazing meal, so I can do it myself.
Exactly. Yeah. So, geez. This has been such a good show, though.
I can't believe we
left for 3 minutes.
Yeah, I feel like I could go out there.
No, I'm just like, you know what?
I'm so excited. I'm so excited about this. I wish you had been there in my first marriage.
No, but you really...
I'll be there for the
next one. Yeah. I'm working on that one.
No, so, but you're providing...
You came in time.
But you're providing so many people, and I wish that more women would actually tune in and not just listen and be like, oh, okay, I heard it, and then ignore it, you know, but actually take that advice and say that, you know, I need to fix me before I try and become anything to anyone else. I need to become the best version of me first, and stop this desperation of just hanging on to any man. Like you're saying, we're emotional. If he looks good, smells good, goes to the dentist, you know, we are happy. We're like, yes.
I just want to have a moment of full disclosure.
Yes,
I must say
on.
When I first, you know, read about this and I saw the title and everything else, I thought you had sold
Steve
us out,
Harvey.
man.
Yeah, well,
thought you had sold us out. I was very unhappy with you. I was starting to have those negative vibes going on, like, but this guy now, you know, and now we're in trouble. We're working our butts off to serve her, and now he's given her the template. So, you know, but actually, this is more a man's book than actually is a woman's book.
And it's funny you say that, because it's usually guys that I hear from regarding the book. Mm. You know, they want to know, okay, fine, how do I serve my wife? And look, ultimately, the title says it all. Let him serve you. Mm. Guys can benefit from it, but the operative word here is let. Ladies, you have all the power.
Allow
us to serve you. Mm. Stop trying to hog all the, you know, it's stop micromanaging.
Yeah.
Share, delegate.
Yeah. Can I do this for you? Can I please take your car for service?
Yeah.
That's what I want to do for you. You can have that one. I'll be carless for the day.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's actually
let
very
me fix
selfish.
That light bulb.
Yeah.
You know, I read something that says that it's very selfish to not allow someone to do good things for you.
Yeah. Let me help you with the baby. Yeah.
Because it's pleasurable for the person doing it for you because they feel good.
Yes.
And it's good for you because you feel good because you're benefiting from it. Exactly. So that's great.
Yeah, let him serve you, ladies.
So where do people find you, Kofi? Like, let people know everywhere. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
Like I'm mostly on social media. Facebook, Kofi Ofori Boateng. I have a page. My personal page is full at the moment.
Yeah. I was just saying how I felt I won the jackpot when I was like one of the last people accepted. I was like, yes!
Gee, so good for my ego. So good for my ego.
You must just forward those messages to me. I'm following you on Twitter. And there's always good things that you're saying, you know, out here. So
constant wisdom.
And your Twitter page?
Twitter is at Kofi Boateng Live.
Mm-hmm.
Instagram is at official KOB.
Okay.
You can find me on all those.
Fantastic. Okay. Thank you so much for coming into studio.
And where can people find the book, actually?
Yes.
No, before we go any further, because I mean,
I saw Amazon, right?
Yeah. It's available on Amazon, $14.
Okay.
Soft copy.
And they do deliver to South Africa. I've tried Amazon. They're amazing.
People are like, yo, Amazon.
Yeah.
Can't I go take exclusive books?
So just tell me that on Insta it's Kofi what?
At official KOB.
Oh, at official KOB. Okay. Yeah. So go on Amazon. The name of the book is Notes to My Sister, Let Him Serve You. Yeah.
Jeez. All right. What a good way to like end your week, people. Because you know, woman, from Friday to Sunday, you're hunting for a man. Like, set time out, guys.
No, if you already started hunting for him on Thursday night, it's too late, guys.
You're going to have lost him by Monday.
Yeah,
I'm
you should have started
saying.
On Monday. That's the time to start.
Besides, it's ladies' night tonight, so, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, his work pattern. Does he actually go to work every day? Does he do that? Follow him there. Stalk him to work for it. Stalk him to the clubs.
Some of these ladies need to work for the NIA, honestly.
Oh, yeah, no. As a woman, I don't know. Like, we find stuff that should not be found. Ooh. Like, I mean, I know.
I just stumbled on this. No,
you didn't. You know, it's funny. Like, if my friend's like, okay, well, like, say, okay, I'm dating so-and-so.
Mm.
So then the first thing is like, all of a sudden, they'll tell you, oh, friend, the last time he was on Twitter was like 3 weeks ago. And then he was on Instagram. And then, like, someone wrote on his wall. This is how you find it. No, they can find how someone else. Let's say you told me your ex-girlfriend's name is Susan.
Yeah.
She can find out how often Susan writes on your wall by putting in an algorithm on Facebook.
No.
I was like, you should be using this for an app. We could be rich.
You should be using
your powers for good.
Yeah. Use your powers for good, ladies. Come on now.
Superhero.
It's time, guys.
And you know what? We still emotionally dip in first. Like, we have all your files, your CIA files, and we still date you.
Yeah. He's a scoundrel.
I'll change him.
I love it.
For me, the greatest thing about this sort of thing is actually society needs better. We need better relationships. We need relationships to actually succeed.
Yeah. Oh,
all those
goodness.
People are hating on people who have great relationships, who have great marriages. Stop it. Because our society's ills will only get better once these relationship things are working.
Yeah.
That's I gotta say about that.
Awesome.
And
thank
on that
you
note,
guys
I would like to play
awesome
one
show.
Of my favorite Kwaito artists of
Go
all
on.
Time who didn't win a Sama, and that's Babes. Angoktola. Sharp.
Bye.
Later. CliffCentral.com.